This episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, it's been a place to grow, connect, and serve. Of course, during this time, no in-person gatherings are allowed, but that doesn't mean that church is canceled. You can find their live stream on Sundays at 9 a.m. on their website, canbyfoursquare.com, or on their Facebook page. Services and other encouragement is available on their Facebook page anytime. Just search for Canby Foursquare Church.
This episode is also brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to the Canby Now podcast,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Five positive cases of the novel coronavirus, including three residents and two staff members, have been confirmed at one of Canby's long-term care facilities, which is a worrying proposition for an illness that disproportionately affects those who are older or more infirm. The cases are linked to Countryside Living, a privately owned facility on Northwest 2nd Avenue in downtown Canby, which embraces a small home and intergenerational approach and specializes in memory care. The first affected resident was transported to the hospital by emergency medical personnel from Canby Fire District on Sunday morning. They remain hospitalized as of Wednesday, but a staff member at the care facility said they were, quote, much improved and doing very well. Two more resident positives were confirmed by the facility on Monday afternoon, followed later by two staff results for a total of five. Countryside Human Resource Manager Michelle Quinn told the Canby Now podcast her facility had been preparing for a possible outbreak for several months. They had COVID-19 response protocols in place. They just hoped to never have used them. Nothing can prepare you for the feelings we all had upon hearing that one of our own had tested positive for COVID-19, she said. We are all determined to work together and provide the safest environment we can for all residents and staff, especially now that this horrible virus has touched our lives so personally. Despite the efforts to prepare, the facility did not have access to N95 masks, one of the most important tools to help protect healthcare workers from contracting and spreading the virus, and other critical personal protective equipment before this week. Quinn said staff had been wearing handmade cloth masks donated by the community, while the gowns and N95 respirators they'd requested had been on back order for over a month. This week, they had been able to get the supplies they need to protect staff and residents, thanks to the help of Clackamas County Public Health and Canby Fire. She said the facility staff is doing everything they can to fight the spread of COVID-19, including quarantining residents in their rooms, limiting residents' contact to specifically assigned caregivers, and isolating the facility's two buildings operationally, a protocol that has also been used in the past to fight outbreaks of the flu and other contagions. Currently, the only cases have been reported in the facility's north building. Countryside was opened in 1999 by Eric Berkey, a Hubbard area native who designed the facility for patients suffering from Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. The facility has 55 licensed beds, according to the Oregon Department of Human Services. Their current occupancy is 31 residents. Seniors and those with underlying medical conditions are at much higher risk for serious repercussions or death from COVID-19, the respiratory illness caused by the new coronavirus. For that reason, the news of confirmed cases of the disease in a care home is something many in Canby had hoped to avoid. Canby Fire District and other agencies involved in the local response met and reviewed protocol with all the city's long-term care facilities in the early stages of the global outbreak. And more recently, the city's care homes were praised for their prompt and diligent attention to strict lockdown procedures and other infectious disease prevention guidelines now in effect statewide. Despite these efforts, the virus has already exacted a heavy toll on Oregon's long-term care facilities. As of April 22nd, at least 41 of the state's 78 deaths have been linked to senior care homes. Downtown Canby has lost its first business to the coronavirus pandemic. Salon L, a hair salon and beauty shop located next to 48 Financial and Northwest First Avenue, announced on its Facebook page Monday that it would be closing its doors permanently. The post by owner Lizzie Morris does not directly attribute the salon's closure to the economic impacts of the COVID-19 crisis, but simply said it was due to circumstances outside her control. All salons have been temporarily closed for over a month by order of Governor Kate Brown because of stylists and hairdressers' inability to maintain 6 feet of social distance from their clients. Closing was not in my plan, but also not something I felt I could control, Morris said. I've learned a lot over the past 7.5 years and created memories I will cherish for a lifetime. Salon L was my family outside my kids and husband. Thank you to everyone that supported us. And know it meant the world to me. Morris opened the salon in downtown Canby in September 2012. She still remembers signing her first lease, which she asked to be for only 1 year, just in case I failed. But she didn't fail. Her business thrived, adding new stylists over the years and even a tattoo parlor. That added an interesting element with shirtless men sometimes walking through the beauty shop. My theory was always do the right thing, even if I was the only one doing it, Morris said. I wanted a space that anyone could walk into and feel accepted. To me, it didn't matter if you just came off working from the farm or were the CEO of a company. Inside Salon L, everyone was going to find kindness. Morris said she will leave the salon's Facebook page active so clients can check in on where their stylist will be working once they're allowed to work again. Most people would thank their lucky stars if it turned out they didn't have to run 2 marathons this month. Oh, but Clackamas County College President Tim Cook, he's not most people. When Cook, who's a long-distance runner with the goal of running a marathon in every state, learned that the marathons he had planned to run in Michigan and Wisconsin were canceled, he decided to go to the distance anyway, just a little closer to home. Already trained and ready to run, Cook decided to make the use of the quiet and empty CCC campus in Oregon City to run a one-person marathon on Saturday. It took 13 laps around the college's 165 acres to make up the 26.2 miles of the marathon. Thinking of the sacrifices many are making right now because of the coronavirus pandemic, Cook dedicated each lap to a different sector of the community and the work being done to slow the spread of COVID-19. His laps were dedicated to healthcare workers, first responders, current CCC students, the CCC Foundation and donors, college faculty, Coogie, that's the school's mascot, K-12 educators, business partners, college staff, the parents homeschooling children, everyone physically distancing, CCC alumni, and finally, the CCC class of 2020. After he finished the final lap and out of breath and tired looking, but not nearly out of breath and tired looking as I would have been, that is for sure, Tim Cook addressed the community with senior class president Ashley Magana standing 6 feet away and wearing a cap and gown.
Beautiful run, a little tired, but I just want to thank everybody that was out here doing this today. I want to thank everybody that's at home practicing physical distance. We're all in this together. We're going to be back together when it's safe to do so. And I just want to give a shout out to class of 2020, our student government president, Ashley Magana, who's graduating, came out. You know, it's a real great celebration for our class. And I know it's a tough time right now and not everyone's able to do it, but if you do have the means, please consider donating to our COVID-19 relief fund for students. They're struggling as well. So thanks everyone. I'm headed for home and my couch. Take care, go Cougs.
With this marathon in the books, Cook has completed 34 marathons in 22 states. The Clackamas County College Foundation has created a COVID-19 relief fund with the goal of raising $200,000 for students and programs impacted by the new coronavirus. The funds are being used to provide internet connection, computers, tuition and fees, and classroom materials to ensure education is accessible to all students. For a link or more information about how to contribute, you can find this story on our website at canbenowpod.com. The Oregon Renaissance Fair, a popular and growing annual event hosted at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds by the nonprofit Washington Renaissance Arts and Education Society, or RAISE, will be postponed from its traditional setting in June to mid-September. It will coincide with a new event that organizers are already planned for the fairgrounds this year, the Oregon Celtic Festival. The world has changed due to COVID-19, and we have been watching closely to see where we are going in 2020, the RAISE Board of Directors wrote in a message to employees, vendors, and guests on Monday. We have talked to the county offices, the health department, and to the people in charge of the venues we use. We've had to come to some very tough decisions. The Oregon Celtic Festival, originally planned to be a very distinct event focused on Celtic music and culture, will now be a unique combination of the Celtic celebration and the Renaissance Fair. It will be held on one weekend, September 18th through the 20th. Organizers say they will do everything possible to blend the two events in a cohesive manner and create an exciting event with something for all, incorporating as many aspects of the Renaissance Fair as possible related to scheduling of performers and merchants. They also said they plan for the Oregon Ren Fair to return to its June weekends in 2021 with the dates of June 5th and 6th and June 12th and 13th. The second Oregon Celtic Fest will remain as a standalone event in September of 2021. Guests who already purchased tickets for the Oregon Renaissance Fair would be able to use those tickets at the newly merged event for no additional charge. They may also exchange it for a gift card to be used at any other RAISE event or request a full refund. A Portland man was arrested Monday after leading Clackamas County police on a high-speed chase through Happy Valley, which ended when he crashed into an SUV in a trailer full of gravel. Well, I guess you could say he hit rock bottom. Police first made contact with the suspect, 26-year-old Sam Emmanuel Hunkos, at approximately 9:30 a.m. when they say they attempted to initiate a traffic stop after seeing him speeding and passing two vehicles over a double yellow line on Southeast Foster Road in Happy Valley. Hunkos pulled over his vehicle, a Dodge Charger, but sped off again as soon as the deputy approached. The deputy attempted to pursue, estimating Hunkos was driving at speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour in an attempt to elude police. Police lost sight of the vehicle after it turned onto Southeast 172nd Avenue, but soon caught up after it crashed into a Ford pickup, pulling a load of gravel and a Nissan Xterra. Hunkos reportedly crawled out of the broken back window of his Charger and attempted to flee on foot, but bystanders at the nearby Fred Meyer fuel station saw what happened and detained him until deputies arrived. Both of the other drivers were transported to an area hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Hunkos was evaluated on scene for sobriety and possible injuries. He was transported to an area hospital as a precaution, then transported to Clackamas County Jail for booking. Deputies learned he had a prior warrant for DUII out of Tillamook County. He will also face additional charges for possession of heroin, third-degree assault, attempt to elude, reckless endangering, reckless driving, and hit and run with an injury. Another crash on Monday evening sent two people to the hospital, also with non-life-threatening injuries. Canby Fire District and Clackamas County Sheriff's Office personnel responded to the scene of the injury crash at the intersection of South Barnards Road and Dryland near Canby. Police say the collision was caused when the driver of an Amazon delivery van failed to stop for a stop sign as a white Chevrolet pickup truck was passing through the intersection. Twisty Dryland Road has acquired a reputation for serious and even deadly crashes in the recent years, and the intersection with Barnards has seen its share. There have been multiple fatal crashes there, including one last September, that resulted in 2 dead. Calls for additional safety measures have increased, including that the intersection be signalized or turned into a 4-way stop. We're on to Police Beat, and normally you guys expect Tyler Claussen to fill this spot, and he's exceptional in this role, I must say. Unfortunately, he's out of town today, so it falls to me. So let's look at the police reports and incidences for crimes reported or occurring February 11th through the 17th. On February 11th, there was a report of online identity theft. At 12:45 p.m., a vehicle with an expired registration being driven by a suspended driver was stopped. The driver was cited, and the vehicle was impounded. This occurred on South Redwood Street. 3:30 that afternoon on February 11th, an uninsured vehicle was being driven by a suspended driver. They were stopped. The driver, who had an open container of alcohol, was arrested on an outstanding warrant down on Southeast 1st Avenue. On Northeast 10th at 4:05 p.m., there was a report of an unknown person breaking into a motorhome. Then on North Cedar Street at 4:23, theft of a skateboard from a residential porch. A skateboard, those buggers. And then finally, a report of identity theft as well. Then moving on, February 12th, 7:30 a.m., a homeowner had a transient trespassed from his property. 9:34 a.m., report of an unknown person stealing items from an unlocked vehicle. That occurred in the Northwest 13th Place neighborhood. 4:51 p.m. around Southeast 3rd Avenue, a cell phone was found and turned into police, and the owner was subsequently notified. Good job by you. 5:47 p.m., a person attempted to pass counterfeit currency at a fast food restaurant down on Highway 99E. February 13th, 7:15 a.m., reports of items being stolen out of 3 unlocked vehicles overnight, Southeast 7th Avenue. Down on Southeast 1st at 9:15 a.m., report of a burglary at a business. On South Maple in the afternoon of 4:04 p.m., found items were turned into the police. Hey, good job, guys. 6:14 p.m., an officer was dispatched to a traffic crash. One driver was cited for driving uninsured and an expired registration. Then on Southeast 7th Avenue, towards midnight, 11:55 p.m., there was a report of a theft from an unlocked vehicle. Then on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 7:17 p.m., an officer was called to assist a neighboring city on a suspicious person call. A loaded handgun and a large bladed knife were located on the suspect as he was taken into custody. Then at 10:45 a.m., report of a juvenile vaping and attempting to sell a controlled substance. Then on Northeast Territorial Road at 8:45 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUII alcohol. February 15th, there's nothing. Good job, Camby. February 16th, 12:52 p.m., an uninsured vehicle with an expired registration was stopped. The driver was arrested on an outstanding warrant for providing false information to police, driving while suspended, and Tyler would love this, possession of, any takers? I think you guessed it, possession of methamphetamine. Happened on South Knightsbridge Road. And finally, on February 17th, just 3 things. First, 5:16 p.m., report of a hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle on South Sequoia Parkway. There was also a report of harassment at 12:47 p.m. And then at 10:33 p.m., report of lost property on Southeast 1st Avenue. That's that for the Canby Police Report. Canby, stay home, stay safe, and stay off the police blotter.
Canby, Direct Link is here for you. In these troubling times, the last thing anyone should have to worry about is how to stay connected to their loved ones, work, education, and news. The expert staff at Direct Link are all based right here in Canby and are committed to keeping those critical internet, video, and voice connections on and strong for their members. They have signed the Keep Americans Connected pledge from the FCC, which means they have promised to keep students online to continue their studies, local businesses connected to their customers and employees, and all their members virtually in touch with what matters most to them, no matter how far away they may be. So if you have DirectLink as a provider, go ahead and reach out to your loved ones on a traditional telephone, watch a child's home recital over an internet video chat, download your favorite local podcast, I mean, do we even have to ask what it is, or enjoy a favorite movie at home, because DirectLink will keep our friends, neighbors, and local businesses connected, no matter what. We're all in this together.
Hey friends, James again. As you know, it's my favorite part of the episode, which is where we get to shout out and give our undying thanks to our Canby Now Plus members. And this week, it's Aubrey Carter. Aubrey, if you are listening, thank you for helping support the good work of the Canby Now podcast as we have endeavored to produce the liveliest, most accurate, and timely journalism that Canby has ever seen. We are so grateful for your support that allows us to do this work that we so love. And if you are benefiting from the good work of Tyler Franke, Tyler Clausen, and all the others here at the Canby Now podcast, we encourage you, consider becoming one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon. To do so, visit us on our website at canbynowpod.com/plus. Aubrey, thanks again so much for being one of our supporters.
Everything else has changed, right?
Everything else has changed, but that is the same.
All right. Well, joining us on the Canby Conversation once again is Dr. Erin Walker. She's the co-owner, co-founder, and medical director at the Canby Clinic. Dr. Walker, I find we've been starting most of our conversations with guests these days just with kind of a general check-in, just as a human. How are you doing? How are you holding up in these crazy times?
I thank you very much, Frankie, for having me. I feel quite honestly, I feel like I was made for this. Mm. That's kind of been my take on the situation that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
The pace of life has definitely changed. The kids are, we have kids, school-age children, and so they're home now, and that education, the look of the education has changed somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But medically and personally, I feel like this is, like we've definitely risen into this challenging situation, and it's been something that hasn't set us back at all. Actually, it's refined a lot of our practices and is a bit propelling, if you will.
That's great. That's good to hear. Definitely going to be digging a little bit more into that to hear kind of how things have been changed, and it sounds like kind of streamlined and really activated at the Canby Clinic in this difficult time. I keep wanting to say Canby Center. Do you, do you find folks ever make that connection? But anyway, before we get into all that, I did want to ask just because I think folks are so hungry for medical and clinical information about this very complicated health situation we're all facing. I'd love to hear your perspective just as a doctor and a naturopathic physician on the coronavirus.
So as a naturopathic physician, when I approach patients who are succumbed to disease, whether that is coronavirus or that is gastritis, or that is, a kidney infection, or mm-hmm. whatever it is, the question in my mind that I hold in my mind is, how do I position the body to a place where it heals, where it can health can be restored, and then finding the tools, whether that is like in the case of if it's a kidney infection, right? I would use antibiotics, but I would pair that with herbal medicine and nutrient therapy and good hydration and just to restore health to the kidney. And viral infections, coronavirus is, yes, it's novel, it's new to us. And so, you know, the exposure that some folks are going through right now, it's the first time they've been exposed to this particular virus. And so there are things within our, us as humans as a whole, like how we don't have, no one has herd immunity yet, right?
Right.
And there's not a vaccination yet, right? And so there are those aspects that, you know, we rely on others around us to, you know, if everyone has had chicken pox, for example, right? And then there's little children that haven't, then the infection's limited to the children who haven't had been exposed to chicken pox before. Where in this case, nobody's been exposed to coronavirus, and so we're all at risk of acquiring that infection, if you will. The other thing to keep in mind, which we're seeing with the coronavirus and we see with other infections as well, you know, if you're out and about and heaven forbid somebody sneezes in your face, right, and you
right.
are exposed to a virus, your body has to be susceptible to that. And so that's the other piece to keep in mind is, there seems to be a, and we're not sure why, but there seems to be a certain subset of the population and, you know, there's some concomitant or other disease factors that might increase someone's risk, like we're seeing cardiovascular disease and diabetes can increase someone's risk, age can increase someone's risk. But even then, it's not 100%, you know, oh, I was exposed and I succumbed to the virus. It's even then there are other factors at play, it seems like, and we may or may not ever find out what those are, but just kind of keeping that in mind, it's like, well, if the body is not susceptible, even if there is a viral exposure, there are many, many people out there who will never acquire the disease that the virus can bring. And again, naturopathically looking at that and saying, how do I get the body into that position where even if it is exposed to the virus, that it can fight that off very readily? You know, and we have an amazing tool in our immune system, more brilliant than any pharmaceutical and more brilliant than any herb, really, the tools the immune system has. And how do we make that tissue very strong so that when it does encounter insults, that it's very strong and can fight back and heal, keep the body strong and healthy. So that's the approach I typically take with any disease and with any virus. And the coronavirus, although it's new and has its unique features, it's also something I think the body is well equipped in many cases to deal with, and in some cases not, but in many cases it is.
Dr. Walker, was it you naturopathic physicians who were telling people early on that toilet paper was a good deterrent? Not just kidding.
Right.
I've been wondering where that comes from.
Wrap yourself in toilet paper. And
that's secure. That's it.
That's secure. So if you're wondering why there's such a shortage, that's why.
That explains it perfectly. No, I appreciate that. And I should have known. Because you do take that very holistic approach, you know, so that there's
the whole body.
So it's not necessarily like, okay, let's like really dig into the chemistry and physiology of this specific virus, and more like this is what these kinds of viruses generally do to the body, and this is what we generally do in these types of situations. So, so what has changed at the Cambie Clinic? You mentioned that in some ways it's even kind of better and certainly busier than it has been. Can you just sort of describe, you know, maybe since we checked in a few months ago about the Cambie Clinic and its history and how you guys were doing business, you know, earlier this year and late last year, as opposed to right now?
Yeah, and right now, folks are concerned, of course, right? Folks are concerned. So just supporting patients through that, they're concerned for themselves and for their families. And And so, you know, again, just really a lot of education of folks around, excuse me, the importance of having a healthy diet, of having a good sleep schedule, of taking good care of their bodies, right? The role of nutrients and herbal therapy and supporting the body. So we've been doing a lot of education of folks around those therapies and those treatments, and it really just brings it to light, kind of everyone all at once, right?
Right.
It just really brings it to light of people recognizing, oh, this is why I've been doing all of this work for the last several months, you
right.
know, and trying to better my health, or, you know, implementing that exercise program and, right, decreasing the amount of sugar I eat. This is why Dr. Walker keeps asking me to go to bed before midnight, you know, like those kind of things. It just really is one more reason, you know, to have good diligence and good discipline in keeping your body very healthy and strong. And so that's all come to light. The team here at the clinic, the folks that...
So you're just saying folks are taking that much more seriously now, it seems.
And recognizing that, you know, just because I go to bed earlier, it doesn't only affect my energy and help my adrenal glands, but it's really good for my immune system too. You know, it's that kind of a holistic approach. Back to our holistic, more of that holistic approach. So, yeah, so for patients, and here at Canby Clinic, again, kind of coming back around to it, like, I didn't get into medicine to not help people when they need medical care. I got into medicine to help people, especially when they need help, and especially in circumstances like this. So we haven't missed a beat here. We do a lot more phone consults with patients, so just to keep kind of foot traffic down and, you know, exposure down. Trying to keep people at home as much as we can, but at the same time, like, if somebody has a bladder infection or if they have a skin infection or something like that, I'd much rather they come in here than go to the emergency room right now. So we've kept our doors open, and we're seeing patients and taking care of patients here at the clinic. And that's like, those needs still need to be served. And it's very important to provide care for folks, especially now. So that's our approach here at the clinic. And the team here, you know, it's been all hands on deck, and everybody has just, like, risen right into this. There's plenty to do. There's plenty of folks who need help, and we're, like, we haven't missed a beat. Like, everybody is getting great care, and we've been very blessed and fortunate. We've been able to continue to provide excellent care for patients. So
wonderful. Have you been doing things sort of very practically in a different way? Like, I know a lot of doctors and folks have been doing more telehealth appointments and things like that. Or have you, when you do, or if you do continue to see folks in person, are you having people, you know, wear more protective equipment or things of that nature?
Right.
Or what does that kind of look like?
Yeah, so we do. The providers here at the clinic wear masks when we're in rooms with the patients.
Okay.
And if there's someone who's...
And that's just regardless. That doesn't...
That's regardless. Yeah. Everybody, because we're within that 6-foot distance, you know?
Yeah.
We've changed our cleaning agents, of course. We've changed our hand washing policies. We've changed our surface cleaning policies. We've changed all of those things. As far as policy and procedure here at the office, just to keep things very, very clean and just protect people, right?
Yeah.
And so those policies have changed. And then we do, as far as office visits, if there's somebody who has Like I said, if there's somebody who has an acute need, they come into the office, we see them, we take care of them. If I'm just reviewing over lab results with someone, or I'm checking in, hey, how's this treatment working for your sleep? Or, you know, that if it's just a check-in like that, all of that is being done over the phone. And again, that's just to keep the, you know, the foot traffic down here at the clinic and keep that, you know, just keep that activity down, keep people, you know, less of that interaction, if you will, right? Yeah. Less of that risk. So,
Absolutely.
Yep.
I know.
But,
Just as an outside person, like obviously we want to see, you know, we're glad to hear of just folks being able to protect themselves in general. But also I think even maybe it even is a little selfish, I don't know, but just like we need you guys to stay safe and healthy because you're a critical part of us all getting through this is our healthcare workers still being there and not being homesick. So,
yeah. And I feel again, I do my deal every day, keeping my immune system strong, taking good care of myself, and I feel like again it's just we've had an amazing opportunity to rise into a place where people really need good health care and they need that constancy within their health care right now, and it's been beautiful to be here in this place right now and be able to provide that for folks. So we feel very blessed to be able to do that for sure.
That's so cool. All right, Dr. Walker, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask maybe before you go if there is any, obviously folks are continuing to walk through these unprecedented times dealing with this thing that, I mean, we've had pandemics and epidemics and viruses and flu every year and all this stuff, but this feels very different. Is there anything just as a general kind of practice, health tips for staying healthy as you're talking about that you could share with the community, maybe things that they have heard before, but it would be a good reminder, or maybe things that are just really good things to know right now?
Yeah. So I, again, like there's no substitute for a good night's sleep and there's no substitute for, you know, washing your hands and, taking those steps. But I definitely, think that, you know, just making sure that you're eating plenty of vegetables and taking care not to overconsume. I know we just had Easter, but taking care not to overconsume on sweets and right and treats and that kind of thing. Those can really drag the immune system down. But yeah, we do. We've just been working a lot with folks on taking nutrients. Vitamin C and zinc are probably two of the main ones that we've been recommending, just as antiviral. Zinc is very antiviral. But again, you can do a lot. Viruses like to replicate in the mucous membrane, so in the nose, in the nasal passages, and in the posterior pharynx, the back of the throat. And so just simple things like saline rinses, rinsing with salt water. Salt is antimicrobial. So doing salt water gargles and nasal rinses with salt water, if you feel you're exposed, that can definitely cut down on that viral replication and just clean out those passages, which is very nice. But those simple things can be really helpful. And then, using vitamin C, using some zinc, and then making sure that you're getting plenty of rest. Just all of those things that you would, that, you know, someone you respect their advice of, like, a caretaker would give you as far as keeping your body healthy, that those general eat your vegetables.
Right. Yeah. Mostly moms, right?
Mostly moms. Yep. Yeah. Did you drink your water today? Right. Yep. Right. So all of those things are excellent ways, just gentle reminders, excellent ways of keeping your body nice and healthy. And then, of course, if you are feeling unwell, just stay home, you know, call your provider, let them know, get support that way. And just stay home, lay low, let your body do its good work and support your body that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Watch lots of Netflix, right?
Yeah. That's why they invented Netflix.
That's why they did. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Walker. It's wonderful to hear from you again and have you back on the show. Really appreciate you taking time out from your very, very busy schedule, keeping us all safe and healthy. Okay.
It's such a pleasure, Frankie. Thanks again for the call, and it's great to visit with you.
All right, so take care.
Take good care of yourself. Stay healthy.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Frankie. Yep, take care.
Joining us once again on the Can Be Now podcast is Derek Hill of Advantage Mortgage. He joins us on the line, of course. How are things in the industry right now with all the crazy stuff going on?
It's a little crazy, but not too crazy. I mean, we definitely have seen some things tighten up. Obviously, with any kind of uncertainty, banks tend to tighten their guidelines. So the great thing about being a broker is that even though some of our lenders are tightening up, we have others that aren't. We have a lot of lenders that are just status quo. They're like, hey, we still have all the same channels. We still have all the same credit score requirements. Interest rates may be a little bit higher because of the level of risk, but they're still funding loans. So actually March was one of the biggest months of our company's funding. So
wow.
We're still funding loans. There's still people out there buying. There's still people out there selling. We have to make sure that we're not, spreading the virus and whatnot, but yeah, everything's still moving along.
Cool. So how can people get in touch with you right now?
The easiest way is just call the office, 503-266-5800, or send us an email, derek@findtheadvantage.com, but just call the office and we'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. Hang in there.
All right, you as well. Derek Hill, NMLS 50183, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Joining us on the line now is Tim Austin. He's the owner of Austin's Body Shop. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Welcome onto the show.
Howdy.
How are things at Austin's Body Shop nowadays? You guys staying busy?
Yeah, about as busy as we can be.
Yeah. Well, the reason we're calling is obviously just to check in. We love to hear how our different important parts of our community are handling these crazy times. But you posted something on Facebook that kind of caught our eye, and I wanted to ask you about it. You basically, and maybe folks that know you, this won't come as a surprise, but you kind of mentioned how you enjoy finding humor in difficult times. And I wanted you to just tell us about that post and what that was all about.
Well, the thing is that when you get in times like these, mm-hmm. it's really, really simple to kind of let what you hear in the media and what you hear, online and what you hear on the news and what you hear from your neighbor and people you do work with and all that. It's really, really easy to find yourself sitting around completely depressed, with no idea what direction to go and no idea whether you're going to survive or not survive. And
oh my gosh,
is going to work. And are you going to get sick? And are you going to, there's just so many emotions that go around.
Yeah.
It just drives you absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for me, I choose to try to find kind of a lighter side of it because, otherwise it'll drive you nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw a friend of mine post on Facebook that was talking about that, and it's just how like everybody feels like terrified and bored and happy and sad and like all of these different emotions like all at exactly the same time. Like it's crazy times.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right because one second you're just living life totally normal, and
right.
the next, it's just everything around you is just it's absolutely nuts. You walk
right.
outside your house, and I kind of find that what you have to do is you have to kind of everybody has their own thoughts on what they think's happening and what mm. they think they can do and what mm-hmm. they think is right and what's wrong.
Sure.
And, you have to, anybody on this planet that has a half a heart, will lean towards the person who is the most devastated by what's going on around you and then try to try to respect how they feel about it and try to make them feel comfortable, you know? And so if you spend all your time just living in this, you know, this fear of this pandemic and everything that's going on, I mean, next thing you know, just nobody feels safe or comfortable. So,
yeah.
So if you can find a way in all that to try to put a smile on somebody's face, that's what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think in the post, Tim, that we're talking about on Facebook, you kind of mentioned that you, this was a philosophy you sort of developed or learned after, you know, a crisis that in some ways folks have been comparing our current situation to 9/11, when obviously a lot of people were maybe not quite as many directly impacted, but all of us were very emotionally impacted and devastated.
I think back then it hit, you know, you're right. It was a completely different situation, but it was also, much in the same. It affected everybody, everybody, you know, it affected all the way back here to Canby. I know for a fact, because on that at 9/11, when 9/11 happened, anybody who was old enough to be able to put, you know, a sentence together can remember where they're at, what happened,
right,
in the whole nine yards. And myself personally, my office down here at the body shop, which at the time belonged to my father, my office burnt down the next day.
Oh my gosh!
So I remember driving down here because I was on the call list for when the alarm went off. And I drove down here not knowing whether we had terrorists or whether my shop was burning down. I'll never forget it.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that story. That's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll never forget it. I pulled into my driveway, and running down the driveway was Chris Mead, who's a friend of mine, who's also a retired Canby police officer. And he's looking at me and waving his arms and, get out of here. Then I realized that it was, you know, our shop was on fire. But that shut this world down. And I will never forget that Saturday Night Live came on as soon as it could come back on again. And I don't remember if it was a week after or 2 weeks after, but you know, I've always enjoyed Saturday Night Live. And Lorne Michaels, who, you know, came out and said, they told us we have to be funny. And, you know, and that's just kind of where it started. And then they put on a show, and then you could, you know, watching that show, just like they said during the show, reminded everybody that it's okay to laugh, you know, it's okay to bring yourself back to stepping outside of what's going on around you and try to enjoy yourself a little bit. I mean, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked about this on the show a couple of times as well, but like, I'm very just personally concerned with, you know, not just that we get through this, like that we scrape through it, but kind of what the state of us is going to be on the other side. And I really hope that we're still able to laugh. I think that that's very important that we're able to keep that.
Think,
so
yes, you're exactly correct. What's going to happen in the world around us is going to happen.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to be able to. I mean, obviously, you know, we can change what's going on around us by voting, and we can change by, you know, attending different things that are going on within your community and lending a hand and giving your thoughts and whatnot. But in the grand scheme of things, we're not going to change. We're not going to change what happened.
Yeah.
You know, this pandemic that hit, we're not going to change it. It's here.
Yeah.
And it's going to change all of our lives. The governor, the president, the mayor, the, you know, city council, the, you know, whoever you look to for what's going to tell you to give you the green light to go back to business as usual and life is normal again. When that happens, life is not going to be normal again when this is over with. Everybody's going to have a different way to do things. And it's going to affect everybody differently. And so, you know, mental health. I'm a firm believer that mental health is equally as important and is equally, you know, is going to depict what happens in people's lives as much as physical health conditions are. And so you can't go into the future all bummed out. You'll never survive. You'll never get through it.
Yeah.
So anything you can do to help out.
Yeah. Well,
I'm trying to do my part. You got to make fun of toilet paper.
Yeah. So you came out with these, and it was a partnership with Puddin' River Chocolates, Teresa Sassy, our wonderful gourmet chocolatier here in Canby. Mm-hmm. And they were, COVID took my toilet paper. Is that what you called them? Candy bars.
Yeah. Yeah, we Teresa put a post on something. I think it was probably Facebook or something, and she was making some something. I think in our particular case, I think it was some sort of a breakfast quiche.
Okay.
And so my wife and I decided that, you know, she had to have one, so off we go. And we stopped by, and Scott and Teresa happened to be, you know, personal friends alongside a professional co-workers. And so when we went in, she was actually in the middle of making some, she was in the middle of making some thank you chocolate bars for Ben over at Highway Tire Factory.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to her about that, and she was, you know, I've always talked about doing something like that. So I told her, I said, hey, let's do something. Let's do something along the same lines. Change it up a little bit, and I want to give something out to our customers that are kind of more, you know, a thank you, but really I want to have something that I can give to my customers, thanking them more so for just getting outside of their houses and you know, and coming down and seeing us when we're, you know, we're struggling just like everybody else is.
Sure.
And so we came up with that idea. Next thing I know, she had a email sent over to me with a proof, and the next thing I know, she was standing in my office with a box of chocolates.
Yeah. Well, obviously, so tell us a little bit about the different take that you did, though, and kind of your desire to put humor. I mean, obviously, just the toilet paper situation has been one of the weirdest, like, I think, most memorable, funny, like, parts of this whole episode. It's the fact that, like, it's been so hard, like, on top of dealing with the economic devastation and the public health fear and all this stuff, we can't freaking find toilet paper. Like, what the heck?
There's no respiratory virus. I just don't understand. I mean, I don't get, I can understand walking down the aisle of Thriftway and not having any cleaning supplies because everybody's trying to keep clean, but I don't understand the toilet paper. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And so for me, it's absolutely, well, it's hilarious, number one, because it is almost like people are hoarding, you know, like a drug epidemic, and they're holding crack cocaine or something like that. And, you know, it's the new trading thing. And people joke about how, you know, I saw somebody that was giving away a roll of toilet paper if you would purchase a pizza,
right,
you know, and
right.
I'm just like, what in the, how has society turned into the biggest thing going on is that you can't go buy toilet paper.
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And so and it even gets worse than that, because I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm over at wherever I was, and there happened to be toilet paper. And I said, I'm going to buy some. And I took a Snapchat of the toilet paper aisle completely empty, and it was one roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
And I think it was, in fact, I don't even know what it was. I'm just going to say Northern toilet paper.
That's a dangerous game, too, to stop to take the picture, because that could be gone.
I Snapchatted her. Yeah. And then on my way home, she said, I cannot believe that toilet paper is such a crisis. And she goes, you know, and somebody probably ran up and bought that. And so I sent her another Snapchat, and it was in the passenger seat of my truck, and I bought it. And I told her, and I'd already bought it. And I told her, I said, I don't know what's going to happen. What if we run out?
Right.
You know, and we certainly aren't hoarders of toilet paper,
right.
But I'm just like, holy crimey sakes, it's nuts.
No,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I had, so 2020, so if you go 2020, what's the best thing you can do with the zeros is replace them with toilet paper rolls.
Yeah, they look great. Definitely check them out on Facebook. And yeah, I mean, stop on by Austin's and get a hilarious keepsake from this crazy era that we're going through.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not charging anything for my COVID 2020 toilet paper chocolate bars.
Right.
You know, they go, they're for my customers, and they're for anybody else who wants to stop by. If you want one, come get one.
Awesome.
If I run out, I have a good idea that there'll be some more coming. And then if I decide this is going to be a business venture, and I can make a buck off of the toilet paper scare, I don't think I would do that, but
yeah,
I'll definitely make some more.
I mean, it would be very appropriate to run out. I mean, right? Like, that's,
well, you could use the wrapper from the chocolate, you know, inside the wrapper.
There you go.
The chocolate's wrapped in something
double
else.
Double
so
duty.
The wrapper, the toilet paper.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I did see somebody posting. So, like, if we do have a plague that's an actual, like, you know, gastrointestinal thing, is there going to be a run on, like, inhalers? Are we, like? Is that going to be the shortage?
Only time will tell. I'm going to have to coin myself as a whatever hits at the time, I guess, is going to have to begin. I'm going to have to go with that route.
Right. Well, Tim, thanks so much for taking time out to tell us about. Thanks for keeping things light, man. We appreciate it and hang in there.
Yeah. And hey, I'll give you a prop of your own. It's actually kind of nice to have another set of some sort of a media outlet out there that's not the news, where you can get a little more tuned in with what's going on in your own hometown. So I can tell you, from a citizen and a business owner in Canby, appreciate what you guys do as well over there.
So. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And I'll make sure you get the fee for saying that on the back end here. So.
No problem. I'll give you my home address.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, Tim.
All right. Take care.
Canby Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. They're open daily, and even though the store is currently closed for walk-in sales, they offer a variety of online shopping experiences along with free delivery in Canby. You can connect with them through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Now, while most of us have been forced to drastically change our daily lives because of an invisible enemy, we thought it might be appropriate this week on Canby Then to take a look back at a few of our favorite stories from history dealing with a very visible enemy. In earlier days, one of the great dangers in Oregon country was bear attacks. Bears are, by nature, not aggressive towards humans. But when their territory, food, or offspring are threatened, they can and will attack. In the days that the bear populations were much greater and the human populations much smaller, this was not uncommon. One of the oldest known accounts was recorded in the Oregonian in 1878. Several teenagers, Adam Benson, Johnny Northover, and Jack Barnes, were out hunting on horseback when they came upon two large bears. They brought down one, but the other fled into the woods despite having been shot four times. One of the teens, Adam Benson, set off after the wounded animal on foot, which, if you're keeping track at home, not a good idea. He didn't find the bear found him, and it charged him despite Adam managing to get another two rounds of buckshot into it. The bear knocked the gun from his hands and beat Adam over the head with its massive paws. Adam dropped to the ground. The beast bit and clawed at the helpless young man, who tried desperately to reach his one remaining weapon, which was a hunting knife. At last, his fingers closed around the sheath, only to find it empty. The knife had fallen out in the struggle. It was gone. The bear went for Adam's throat, and he held it back with his bare hands, if you will, pushing back at the beast's head and its snapping jaws with all that remained of his fading strength. At the last moment, Adam was saved by Jack Barnes's dog, Rover, who attacked the bear so fiercely, he drove it away. Good job, Rover. Good boy. Adam was found by his friends and carried home on horseback. On the way, the newspaper noted he managed to tell them that he was not anxious to box a bear soon again. He survived the attack, though one of his arms had been so badly mangled that it later had to be amputated. In 1900, a bear charged a group of men at a ranch in Corvallis. The bear was extremely large and well-known terror to the farmers in the area. The rancher, Caleb Davis, fired a rifle at the beast seven times. As each bullet struck him, the enraged brute uttered an unearthly yell that could be heard for half a mile, the newspaper reported. The seventh shot found the bear's eye and finally dropped him only a few feet from the smoking muzzle of Davis's Winchester. Wow. Another farmer, Thomas Blower, had a close call in 1904 when he and his dog went out into the wilderness in search of a valuable cow that had gone missing. In the mountains, he found what was left of his prized bovine, along with a female black bear who was coolly eating her as breakfast. With the help of his dog, the enraged farmer was able to dispatch the beast with two blows from an axe. Damn, do not mess with this dude's cow. Thomas Blower, wow. Anyway, he found a cave nearby with two small orphan cubs, which he and his wife took in. The cubs were later transferred to the care of a man in Albany. Now, wait a minute, Tyler, hold on here. I think we need a follow-up Canby Then episode to discuss how in the world this man in Albany managed to raise two bear cubs that were orphans. This is the real work of journalists, Tyler. The people demand it. In 1908, the Condon Times reported the story of a man, Bert Owens, who ran across two cubs. He caught one of them, which proved to be a mistake, when the mama bear showed up. Bert tried to run, but the bear caught hold of him by the seat of his pants. He thought he was done for, but fortunately, his friend, Lois Mattingly, was nearby with, anybody can guess? Yeah, it's a dog. They came to his rescue just in the nick of time. An old bear only got the seat of my overalls and trousers, Bert was recorded as saying. I am sure she was very welcome to them. But one of the most thrilling and most heroic of these man versus wild stories took place in our area in 1911. On July 3rd of that year, Tom Scott, the owner of a large ranch on Pine Creek near Mallala, and his partner were out driving a herd of sheep about a mile from the cabin where they lived when they encountered a cinnamon bear of the largest size. Cinnamon bears, a lightly colored subspecies of the black bear, can stand over 6 feet tall and weigh as much as 600 pounds. Scott's partner, who was not named in any of the newspaper coverage of this story, fired two shots at the bear, wounding it slightly, then discovered, to his horror, that he was out of ammunition. The bear, wounded only enough to make it wild with rage and pain, charged the man, while Tom Scott rushed to his rescue, though he was armed with nothing other than a light camping axe. Still, without hesitation, he stepped between his fallen companion and the angry bear. Now I want you to picture yourself in Tom Scott's shoes. Blood, it's pounding, adrenaline coursing through your veins, your muscles are tense, your face slick with sweat from the day's work and the heavy summer heat, and as you face down an enraged 600-pound predator with nothing but a small hatchet. The bear charged, and Tom swung the axe, but it caught in an overhead vine. The bear seized Tom by the thigh, shaking him violently as he howled with pain and rage. Bleeding profusely, Tom managed to fight his way out of the beast's jaws and free his weapon. He swung the axe a second time with all the strength that he had left. This time, he did not miss. The axe was buried to the handle between the bear's eyes. The pelt now adorns the floor of Mr. Scott's cabin, the Canby Tribune would later report. Tom walks a little lame as a result of the encounter, but the wound is healing nicely, and he will soon be active as ever.
This episode is brought to you by the Wild Hair Saloon in Canby in Oregon City. The coronavirus has changed much about how the Wild Hair does business, but it has not changed the where, the why, or who they do it for. Owners Joan and Darren Monin, both lifelong Canby residents, are as committed to the community they love as they've ever been. Even as the service industry has been deeply impacted by the current public health situation, they continue to rally behind Canby, its people, and especially those most in need. We are so grateful for their continued support in this difficult time. As we've always said, the Wild Hair is the place where Canby goes to eat and have fun. That hasn't really changed. You just have to take your food and, you know, go eat it somewhere else. Until the governor's stay-home orders expire, the Wild Hair's friendly staff will be there to handle your carry-out orders Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. They continue to offer their full menu of delicious food options, and they're doing a weekly meal deal that serves a family of four for only $25. Find the latest on their Facebook page, full menu available online at thewildhairsaloon.net. Give them a holler today at 503-651-4273.
The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.